Father, we thank you that you are a good, good Father. It's who you are, God. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. And you love us unconditionally, God. And with whatever needs that we come, Lord, this morning, we come as your people, set apart, Lord, for good works. People used by you, God. People used by the living God. So, Lord, will you speak to us this morning? Because we, your children, are ready to hear you, God. Not just to hear your words, but to feel your heart. What brings joy to you, God, will bring joy to our hearts. And what grieves you, God, will grieve our heart. And so we pray this morning, Father, will you speak to us individually and corporately, Lord, as your people. And all God's children say, amen, amen. Why don't we stand with our Bible right now, whether it's a hard copy Bible, soft copy Bible, it doesn't matter, it's still a Bible. Okay, I know many of us nowadays read from your smartphone, from your iPad, and Android. iPad is still better. All right, and hold it up and remind ourselves every weekend, this is the Word of God. All right, let's declare that this is my Bible. One more time, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. So we're going to read from Scripture, and from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, just three simple verses that I'm going to preach from even this morning. Why don't we declare the Word of God together? One, two, go. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. May God bless the reading of His Word. Please be seated. How many of you here, I'm sure all of you here have a handphone. Just take out your handphone, all right? I'm not biased towards whether you are Android or iPhone, okay? But just hold up your phone, okay? And if you know how to, I want you to turn on the torchlight. Do you know how to do that? Turn on the torchlight like that? Do you know how to do that? All right, everyone, if you know how to, you turn on the torchlight. If you do not know how to, because you may not know, you know, that how to turn it on, you may just want to quickly, you know, ask your neighbor, hey, how do I turn on the torchlight in my handphone, all right, or my smartphone, okay? Now, all of you are up in the gallery, so just take it out. Oops, why is it keeping off? Okay, sorry about that. Okay, right, it's on again. All right. And if you do not know how to turn on the torchlight, all you need to do is turn the other way to the screen, all right? Then there's still some light there. In case you're caught, all right, in the room, in darkness, all right, you still have some light to get you around, okay? So you know how to turn on your torchlight now? But if you do not know, you need to know how to learn how to turn on the torchlight. Now, let me ask you this question. Would you buy your smartphone to function as a torchlight? Oh, you're smart people, right? You will be foolish if you buy your smartphone in order to use it as a torchlight. But what's the purpose of a smartphone? To make calls, all right? So we are supposed to make calls, but there is a bonus function of that torchlight. Okay, now, you can switch it off now, but keep your smartphone next to you, all right? Because I'm going to tell you to bring it up again. Now, let us remind ourselves here, As a church in UMC here, I've been saying it in the last few sermons, reminding ourselves as we start off this year, that, you know, this is what we want to remind ourselves. Everything we do is for the sake of the gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in a spiritual environment of prayer and worship. This is almost something that we need to remind ourselves over and over again. Just as the smartphone or the handphone or your mobile phone is used to make phone calls, it is not meant to be used, you know, primarily as a torchlight. Okay, that's a bonus function. So in the same way, now the reason for church is the gospel. The reason for church is that the world out there may know the gospel. Because if we don't remind ourselves this, we can do many things in church, nice things, they are not bad things. But if it's not for the gospel, we are missing the point. We are not living out the life of the church in the way God wants us to. So let's remind ourselves that everything we do is for the sake of the gospel, and it must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we don't want to come with our own agenda, but what is the Spirit saying? So we all must learn how to hear the Spirit, including myself. I ask myself every day, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? I know I have my plans, but what are you saying? Okay, I can run my own life without the Holy Spirit. You know, it's possible to do that. So empowered by the Holy Spirit, in a spiritual environment of prayer and worship, we want to be worshipful people. We want to be prayerful people. And so, if you remember last weekend when I preached about cell groups, I mentioned that I was trying to convince all of us here last weekend to say you must be in a cell group. So all of us are wearing this sticker called what? There was a sticker that we were wearing. Are you in? So I don't know whether you are in already or not. Just ask your neighbor quickly, are you in or not? Up in the gallery, you must ask the person next to you, are you in? Not are you in the auditorium, right? Are you in cell group? I preach my heart out to try to convince you why you need to be in a cell group. So let me remind all of us here, why are we in a cell group? I said that cell groups are basic building blocks of the church. In other words, there's a difference between a cell church and the church of cells. And last week in my cell group on Friday, the leader turned to everyone. Do you know the difference between the cell church and the church of cells? Now, some members still struggle. They still struggle trying to figure that out. But it's okay, because for some of us, it may be an ongoing journey of understanding. But let me put it very plainly to you. In 1 minute, I can tell you what's the difference, all right? A church with cells and a cell church. A church with cells simply means this. When you walk to a church, there are many things that are happening. All right, you can choose to join the worship ministry, you can choose to join the intercessory ministry, you can choose to be part of the ushering team, you can choose many, many things, and one of those things that you choose is the cell group. All right, so it's an option. Now, in a cell church, which DUMC is, now hear this very carefully here, all right, before you can join anything in terms of serving, all right, in terms of going to mission field, in terms of joining the ushering ministry, the worship ministry, before you do any of this, you must first start off with the cell group. That's a starting point for every member of DUMC here. Now, that defines us as a cell church. Then after that, you can choose any other thing around the church that you can serve in. Do you understand? Can you explain that now? All right. Now, so why is cell group so important? I mentioned last week that we are living stones. We are stones. Some of us are stones, very rough stones. Now, after we become a Christian, we're still very rough, all right? And God needs to chip away some of the rough edges. And some of us we call rolling stones. Rolling stones mean you roll from one place to the other, one church to the other church. Okay, so different kind of stones, rough some of us are. And in the cell group, we begin to chip off, okay? We begin to learn how to relate to one another. And I told you last weekend that do yourself a favor, join the cell group. Why? Because it grows you. Because many of us refuse to go near a small group. Why? Because we have to open up our lives so much so that we are very uncomfortable that someone would tell us that this is your blind spot. Right? So we stay away from small groups like that. We prefer to come in big groups, corporate meetings like this, where you stand in the back of somebody's head. And this morning, you're still counting. If you're sitting in the same place and the person is still the same person in front last weekend, you're probably counting whether he has less hair or not this morning. Or the more graying hair, I don't know, right? But we are staring into each other's back. And so in a cell group, we learn to sit in circles. We learn to relate to one another. And then I say that we are all royal priests. And all of us are priests here. And we learn how to pray. We learn how to minister to one another. We learn to exercise our spiritual gifts. Because you can't do it in sitting in rows like that. But you can do it in a small group. And week in, week out, as you sit in that small group, you learn how to be a priest. Because the priest is not the professional who's standing up front here. I'm a paid staff of the church. All right. So in many churches, okay, they expect, all right, the person up in front to be the priest. But it's so clear in the Bible that all of us are to be priests. So turn to the neighbor again and say, you are a priest. You're a priest of God. And where do you learn how to be a priest? In the cell group. And then as you grow to be a priest, you learn, therefore, through that to be holy people. And holy people simply means that you are set apart, you are different. It's not that you have a halo around your head, all right? It's not that there's something glowing out of your life. It's just that you are different. How are you different? Because you are stone stacked together, God began to shape you up. And he began to teach you how to minister to people. And over time, do you know that? We change. That is why small group is so, so important. So I preached my heart out, okay, last weekend. So if you missed last weekend, go on YouTube. It's in the on the YouTube. Just listen. Hear my cry to every, you know, member of every worshiper of DMC here, join a cell group. So I preach my heart out. 63 people say, okay, I want to explore. Okay? But there's still something like 400 to 500, even 600 people here who are still not in the cell group. And I tell you one of the concerns I have. You know, this is a place where at the end of every celebration, we pray for people. People come up here and they share their needs. And one of the questions I always ask a person I'm praying for is this, are you in a cell group? Do you know why I ask that question? Because I find there's so many Christians who are trying to go at their Christian life alone. They have nobody else. Because I ask them, do you have anyone else that you can share your issues with? They say, I have no one. Pastor, you're the only one praying for me. You mean there's no one else in your life that's praying for you? He said, no, because you're not in a cell group. That's why. And so I encourage people like this, say, go join a cell group. Do yourself a favor where people can stand alongside you and pray with you in the issues of life. So I pray that this morning here, some of you can still sign up for cell group. Go to the information counter and say, I'm from such and such a place, okay, and I want such and such a group because I'm of this age. Will you connect me to a cell group? And this is something that we want to do every week. We want to remind ourselves the importance of joining cell group. Is that okay? Can you do that, all right, if you're not in a cell group? And this morning, I want to talk about, now that you're in a cell group, what's the purpose? As in this torchlight here I'm talking about, please do not just use a smartphone as a torchlight. Use it as a phone machine, I call it, all right? And so in that sense, what about a cell? Now, the passage we read just now, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. What is a city on a hill? City on a hill simply means that you are the city on a hill. If you are on a hill, we can't miss it. In other words, in the community that we are in, whichever community that you're from, Christians must stand out like city on a hill, like this picture here of the Edinburgh Castle. It's so clear. You can see the castle on the hill. And I think for us Christians, we are meant to be city on a hill. The church is supposed to be city on a hill. And I said to you that a cell group is a church, remember. It's not a mini church even. It is a church. Well, a group of people, when they meet together, it is a church. What is the meaning of the church? It's a gathering of people. Ecclesia. Right? So in a gathering of God's people, that's a church. So in a cell group, you are church, you are city on the hill. Meaning that whichever community that you're from, where a cell group meets, the cell group is a city on a hill. You see the power of cell groups here? All right. And so as we look at the city on a hill, I want to look at what is the meaning of that and how do we apply that in our cell ministry. Now, first of all, if you forget everything that I say this morning, okay, I want you to walk away from this place here, remembering this phrase, huh? It's from the scripture. You are the light. Okay? Everyone say, you are the light. One more time. You are the light. If you forget everything I say, what must you remember? Okay, all right. Now, that's my sermon point today. You are the light. Okay? That one line, I'll break into three. You, okay, everyone, you, okay, you point to me, you, point at me, you point to neighbor, you. Talking about you, right? Okay. You, the second point is, are the light. Then the third point is, of the world. Simple enough? Okay. Now, let me move on to the first thing, you. Okay, once again, point at me, you. Point at neighbor, you. Talking about you. So, say, pastor is talking about you, all right? Okay. What is this you? You are an ordinary person. Agree? Anyone here feel that you are super extraordinary? Anyone feel like that? If you feel like that, you need to tell me the secret. How do you feel like that? Because often I feel very ordinary. All right? So if you feel ordinary, I think all of us here are in good state. Now, most of us, in fact, I would say 99.9%, or the 0.01% of people who say that I'm super extraordinary, I need to talk to you, okay? And so most of us are ordinary. We feel that we don't have the talent, we don't have the gifting, we are not good in talking, and we are just not good enough. Does that sound familiar? Yeah? No? Yes? Yeah? We're just not good enough because we are ordinary. Now, let me say this to you that even Samson, Now, most of us, when you see a for picture of Samson, what does he look like? He's muscular, right? That is an artist's depiction of Samson, you see. But personally, I don't think Samson's as muscular as you think, you know. I personally think Samson is actually quite ordinary. But how does he push, you know, the pillars of the temple until he collapsed? All right, simply because the power of God came upon him. All right. So even, you know, many of us here, I think in the back of our mind, we want to be super extraordinary. You know how I know that? Because all of us here love Marvel movies. Okay? And then for that 1.5 hours, we go into that movie theater and we soak ourselves in the fact that I'm just maybe Iron Man. I just maybe Captain America. And some of us come out of the movie, maybe Hulk, you know? That kind of thing, right? And so for 1.5 hours, we soak ourselves trying to be super ordinary. And in just 5 minutes as we come out, we suddenly realize that we are back to the ordinary all over again. Do you feel like that sometimes? Going back to the mundane things in life, the routine things of life. And so, but I personally think that, you know, this is just, every one of us are in the same position. There are no special people. There are no special people in the sense that, you know, because even for Christians, spiritual gifts given to us is what the Bible calls grace gift. Meaning that it's given to us not because we are good. It's given to us because God just wants to give it to you, like any father who gives gifts to the children. And so even if I operate powerfully in spiritual gift, it is still a grace gift. And so the Bible reminds us that every one of us are ordinary people. And rest assured that also that every Bible character that we read of in this Bible here, they are very ordinary people. Do you know Elijah? Elijah did such super miracles. He can call fire from heaven. He could do miracles that we can only dream of. But what does Apostle James say of him? In James chapter 5, verse 17, it says that Elijah was a man just like us. This is what Apostle James said. Elijah was a man just like us. In other words, Elijah is an ordinary man. Now, if you look at the pattern of New Testament as well, there are no superheroes, you know? In fact, when Barnabas and Paul, when they prayed for the healing of this lame man, when they walked out, all the men around came running to them, wanting to worship them. And to the horror of Barnabas and Paul, right, they said, no, we are not gods. In fact, they say, men, why are you doing this, trying to worship us? We too are only men, human, just like you. So even the apostles were very aware that they are very ordinary people. And Moses, remember Moses, the good old Moses, all right, who parted the Red Sea? What did he say? God, not me, please choose Aaron. Why? Because I cannot speak. My brother speaks better than me. That's Moses. He feels ordinary. And then Gideon, remember Gideon, who took 300 men and went and conquered 100 and defeated 135,000 Midianite enemy soldiers. 300 soldiers only defeated a powerful team, an army of 135,000. And what did he say when God said, you are the one? He said, I am the weakest clan in the tribe of Manasseh. I am the weakest in my family. Not only the weakest, all right, clan in this tribe here, he said, I'm the weakest in the family. But yet God used him. Is there a pattern here somewhere? The pattern here is this. Let me tell you the pattern. God is not looking for extra talented people. Although your talent is a bonus, you may have talents. But let me say this to you. Sometimes our talents can stand in the way. Because we are so good in what we do, God doesn't need to be in the picture anymore. Because we are good, is it? So often talents can stand in the way, but it's a bonus. We can use our talents for God as long as we are sensitive to the Lord. And so God looks for ordinary people. That means all of us here in this room, it's God is talking about you. The 12 disciples are very ordinary people. And in fact, Peter and John were called unschooled ordinary men. That's the exact phrase. Meaning that they are uneducated ordinary men. And so, if you feel along with me here, right, if you feel that you're ordinary, every morning you wake up, you see the mirror, and you say, God, why did you make me this way? So ordinary. Why aren't my nose, okay? Why isn't my nose a little bit higher? Why isn't my eyes a little bit wider? Why is it that I got all the gray hair, not black like someone else? Why, Lord? Why am I losing my hair? Why? Okay? Now, these are common struggles. So the problem is us, you see. We don't realize that out of the ordinariness of our life, God can use us, God can use you. And that is what Jesus is trying to say. Because the audience that he's speaking to, on the Sermon on the Mount, where this passage comes from, he's speaking to ordinary people and say, you are the light of the world. Amen? So God is talking about you. So turn to your neighbor one more time and say, he's talking about you. You. Right? Ordinary people. And we all have hope because of that. So you are the light. Everyone say, are the light. Do you know why we are the light? We are the light because Jesus is the light. If you have Jesus in your life, you are light. Okay? Let me prove to you from John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here you go. Because you have Jesus in your life, the light of Jesus now is in us. You understand this part here? So in other words, if you are a Christian here this morning, you have the light, and the light is permanently on. Okay, so it's almost like this smartphone here I have. That light here is permanently on. It's not switched off. It's on. But what's the problem now? The problem is that although we may have the light on, all right, what we do is that we keep this in our pocket. So this light here may be on, but we keep it in the pocket and no one sees the light, but it is permanently on. So what's the purpose of this light here? The purpose of the light is to shine. But often, we keep it in the pocket. We don't use it. That means, although I'm called the light of the world, but I'm not using that light because I'm hiding that light. Do you understand this part here so far? If you agree with me, just nod the head. All right, good. All right. So in other words, what is the other purpose of the light is this. That once we can shine that light, once we can take that light out of our life and shine it, what's the purpose? The purpose here, look at the last line, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So the purpose of this light here is to show the Father. It is not to show ourselves. It's to show the Father. So I'm going to keep this light here permanently in my pocket until at the end of the message. I hope my battery will last. All right, but that's what's happening to many of us. That light is kept in there all the time. It's permanently on. Now, let me challenge you one more step that the Bible is talking about. Not only do you praise, the people will praise the Father in heaven, and this is what will happen. He says here, I made you a light for the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? We are the Gentiles. Remember, for the Jews, there are only two categories, the Jews or the Gentiles. So we are the Gentiles, all right? So if we are the Gentiles, you say, I made you a light, meaning telling the Jewish people, I made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now that the light has been given to the Gentiles, meaning us, we are now taking that light to the ends of the earth as well. Right, so that is the purpose, that we point to the Father, and we use that now as a means of reaching out to the world with the gospel. That is why everything we do must be for the sake of the gospel. Everything that we do. And so if we understand this, then we begin to realize that this light here in our lives is a powerful light. There is a purpose to that light. There is a reason why, we are where we are. Now, sometimes in spiritual warfare, we talk about the evil one being darkness, right? And so let me ask you this question. When you enter a room that is dark, what do you do? All right? Do you tell the darkness, shoo, shoo, darkness, go away? Do you do that? You don't, right? How do you remove the darkness? Turning on the light. Okay, you don't shoo away darkness, you know? You just turn on the light, darkness will flee. Here you have an important principle. Here we say the world is full of darkness. How do we remove the darkness? You don't go there and say, in Jesus' name, move, shoo, shoo, shoo. All right, what do? You turn on the light. In other words, God has used us to be weapon of spiritual warfare. God is using every Christian to be a weapon of warfare. Where there is darkness, when the Christians appear, the darkness go. You see the power of that? Sometimes we underestimate the power God has given to us as His children. We are ordinary people, no doubt. But God has put a light in us that wherever we go, we are that light for the world. Now, the purpose of the light, let me give you three purposes of the light. The first purpose is that it expels darkness. So as I told you, because you are the light, wherever you go, darkness flee. For example, you know, people will begin to behave themselves when you're around. I hope so. Do they? I hope so. Because I remember there was one time I walked into this group of my colleagues when I was working, not this colleague here in church, right? When I was still working, you know, they suddenly behave. Their language changed, you know? They don't use swear words that much. If I walked away, I could hear them using swear words. But the moment I'm around them, they know this, oh, Holy Christ is around. Okay? And then they actually clean up the language, you know? Does that happen to you? I hope so, you know? The worst part is that you are the light, right? And then you put the light in your pocket and also start using the same language they're using. So what's the difference? No difference. So I believe that God has put us wherever we are to expel darkness. All right? Simply because you are the light of Christ. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the light will expose deeds of darkness. In other words, that is why as Christian in our workplace, it is a very uneasy thing for many of us. Why? Because when we are there, we will speak out for things that are not right. We will speak out for things that are not just. And we are often the pain in the neck for many people. And that's what the light should be. And so much so that we begin to change the spiritual atmosphere of the workplace. Is it tough to do that? You bet, it's tough. All right. I've been in the business world before, so I understand that. I was a salesperson before. I understand that. Okay. That when you go in an environment where there's so much deeds of darkness, all right, so much bribery and corruption, you walk in, right? How do you deal with that? I remind myself that I am the light of the world. And I lift this up and say, I am the light. I am meant, all right, to expose the deeds of darkness. So wherever you are, you know, God will use you. And so here in this passage here, just verse 20 here, everyone who does evil hates the light. That's why do not be surprised that the world don't like you. Don't be surprised at all, right? And then, and will not come into light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. And thirdly, the purpose of the light is to exalt God. We need to exalt God in all that as we expel darkness, expose the deeds of darkness. You know, we exalt God. It's not for us. It's not to exalt ourselves. We exalt God. And God, therefore, is known in that area. And so, let me quote to you John Stott here. This is what John Stott says. When society deteriorates, the question to ask are, where is the church? Why are the salt and light of Jesus Christ not permeating and changing our society? It is sheer hypocrisy on our part to raise our eyebrows, shrug our shoulders, and wring our hands. The Lord Jesus told us to be the world's salt and light. If therefore darkness and rottenness abound, it is our fault. It is, and we must accept the blame. Now that is a very, very powerful words there for the church. You know, sometimes we were praying just now for our country. We look around, we say, yeah, the things are going down to the docks, all right? Okay? And then we start to say, yeah, the problem with, do you know that the Lord reminds us, because you're salt and light, that if society begins to deteriorate, do you know God will hold the church responsible? God will hold us responsible because we are meant to preserve honor, preserve truth. But yet with society around and we don't speak up, that's when problem begins. And we are supposed to be the light. And we are there to pray for our nation. And so as a church, we need to stop blaming people around us, to take as responsibility to say that we are the light of the world. And so that's the purpose of the light. So you are the light. And the third thing is that you are the light of the world. Now, where is our world for most of us? Where's our world? Now, many of us may not be called into the mission field. Some of us need to be in the mission field, all right? And I pray in my heart, the size of our church, maybe 5% of us should be in the mission field, all right? But not many of us will be in mission field. But guess what? Our world every day is the world that we go to. Our workplace, our home, our schools, our colleges. And God did not make a mistake by putting where you are. Right? And so, in this passage of Acts 17, verse 26, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact place where they should live. So you are not here by mistake. God did not make a mistake of putting you where you are. God determined where you should live. God determined where you should spend your time so that you can be the light for Him. So, what is our world then? This world that we live in. Okay? And I kept reminding myself, this world that we live in is actually the Klang Valley. Klang Valley has 7.2 million. I think it's slightly more now. 7.2 million. In other words, one quarter of Malaysians are living in the Klang Valley. 25% are living right now in Klang Valley. And Klang Valley will be 10 million by 2020. And urbanization is expected to reach 70% by then. So there will be 10 million by 2020. And you know, by 2030, okay, 10 years after 2020, there'll be 20 million in Klang Valley. That's huge numbers. In fact, I believe that the mission field of the future is in the cities. And God has strategically put us in a city today where the greatest mission field will be there. Because more and more people now are moving to cities. And so when the Lord challenged us, and if you still remember in the first sermon that I preached about the vision of the church for the next 10 years, I challenge all of us here to say that, you know, God has placed a number in my mind, and I reminded everyone here, it's not a number game. For every number that God gives to us is a life. A life that is won for Jesus, and is won for Jesus for eternity. So when we talk about numbers, we're talking about our lives of people. It's not a number game, right? It's not about a desire to grow the church, okay? It is a desire to touch people with the gospel of Jesus. And so the Lord challenged us to say that by in 10 years' time, we will have 15,000 people. Now, we are right now hovering about 5,000. In fact, last week, 2 weekends ago, we were 5,200. And this last weekend was 5,001. I was calculating, right? So we have about 5,000 people right now in all six congregations. And 15,000 to us, wow, sounds like a big figure, no? That's three times what we are now. In fact, the Lord reminds us that if you're going to grow three times here, you can't be in Dream Center anymore, no? You have to move out, okay? And God challenged us to the strategy of a satellite church or church plant, okay? So these are some of the really, you know, scary stuff that the Lord has put on my heart. I call it scary, okay? And I was challenging the staff last Tuesday. I say, if it's not scary enough, don't do it, lah. All right, then be ordinary people, lah, and go on a routine life, lah. But if we're in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to be the light. Let's do something scary for God. All right? And I hope the word scary is not in a negative way. Right? The word scary means that, Lord, I can't, but you can, Lord. And then I said to the Lord, is it possible, 15,000? Okay, we've been trying for a number of years now. It seems to hover around about 4,000 to 5,000 figure. But 15,000, is that possible, God? Of course it's not possible, the Lord said. With you, it's not possible. But with me, the Lord said, it's possible. And then the Lord whispered to me and says, you know, actually it's not that difficult, you know. Will you just challenge your members here? Okay? If we want to hit 15,000, it's quite simple actually. Everyone here just need to reach out to 2%, all right? Reach out actively, intentionally, pray for 2% in the next 10 years. Just 2%. In the next 10 years, we're already 15,000 already. Simple mathematics. The Lord told me, no, it's not that difficult. It's a matter of learning how to be a light. Right. Now, let me ask you, is it difficult to reach out to 2% in the next 10 years? Is it difficult? No, right? I don't think it's difficult. The problem is our mind, you see. We don't think God can use us. We are just happily coming to church, enjoying the facilities of the church, forgetting everything we do must be for the sake of the gospel. Right. So that's the challenge that I believe God is going to have for us in the next 10 years. Right? I don't know whether it'll be 15,000. I have absolutely no idea. But this is the vision that God has given to us. And the Lord remind us, reach out. Share Christ. Already you are challenged every year since for many years now. Every one of us reach one, remember? Just one a year, the church doubles. Every year, okay? But yet we know across the board, everywhere, churches are not, it's not happening in churches. Why? Because we forget that we are the light. Now let me say to you that the 15,000 people that God has put in our mind, that does not impress me. What impressed me is the 7.2 million people out there. That impressed me. The numbers in our churches are small. It's so small that we need to come to God now and say, Lord, we need to be the salt and light where we are. So 7.2 million, 600,000 in Petaling Jaya. 600,000, that's a lot of people, okay? 700,000 people in Subang Jaya. So Subang Jaya is bigger than Petaling Jaya. And 1.6 million in KL. And 750,000 in Klang. Wow, Klang is bigger than PJ. And then 800,000 in Kajang. And on top of that, we have 2 million 2 million documented foreigners in this land. Right? 2 million documented foreign workers in this land. I do not know how many are undocumented foreign workers. Right? Conservative estimate tells us there could be easily 4 million right now in this land. In other words, mission field has come to us. And I tell the Lord, Lord, the task is tremendous out there. Lord, the harvest is there. And the cry is, there are no workers. And we are the workers. So how do we do this? How do we do this as the light of the world? Simple. I think God, Lord is saying simple. Just win one person at a time. Just one person at a time, you win them. And the world can be reached for Jesus Christ. So the cell group is a powerful strategy. So let me now come to why cell groups. Cell groups is a powerful strategy because the cell group can be everywhere. So let me show this photo to you. You have seen this every weekend when you come in, right at the right-hand side of the wall. This photo here. Right? There are something like almost 300 cell groups in the UMC. And I can't put 300 pins there, no? But can you imagine if I put 300 pins there, it's an amazing sight. But then we also see some areas that have very few cells. And this is where the strategy of planting cells comes in. Maybe some of us need to deliberately now go to certain places and begin to plant cells there. And eventually from that cells, as we plant it, it may become a satellite church. And that become a powerful strategy. So I'm going to invite two persons here to come here, up here and share how their cell group becomes a blessing in the community where they are from. I'm going to invite Godwin. Godwin, are you here? Godwin? Yeah, come. Godwin is a cell leader from Cheras. And the Lord has let the cell group open up his eyes, all right, the eyes of the cell members, to see what's going on, all right? So come, Godwin, share with us.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. My name is Godwin, and I'm from the Cheras cell group. And I'm sharing this on behalf of my cell group. Now, we meet on Fridays, week after week, and the Lord had challenged us to do something for Him. And we decided in 2011 to adopt a Myanmar family. we were introduced to this family. This is a single lady by the name of Giovanna, and her husband had already been resettled in the United States, but she and her two children were still in Malaysia pending resettlement. Now, she had one of her children had a hole in the heart condition, and week after week, we used to visit her. We used to take the food pack from our CES food bank, and we used to go and visit her and pray with her and help her in practical ways to cope with the situation she was facing. Today, she's happily settled with her family in the United States, and she even keeps in touch with some of our cell members through Facebook. Now, this began our cell group's journey to help Myanmar refugee families. Now, once a month on Sundays after celebration and lunch, we would take our food pack and our provisions from our food bank, and we would go and visit these families and give these provisions and food packs to them. We would pray with them. We would share the love of Jesus with them. And over the years, many of these families have been happily resettled in first world nations. And they would always tell us, whilst they can't remember our names, they can remember our faces, and they will even pray for us. Now, these acts of love that we did not only touched lives outside our cell group, but it also did something in the lives of our cell members. You know, it was like when we go together, God does something with us as we pray with each other, and you know, those rough edges which Pastor Chris talked about starts getting smoothened. And we would do these things, and we would come back to at every cell group, and we would share these exciting stories of how God can use ordinary people like us to make a difference in the lives of someone out there. And so many of our cell members who have never done things in their life would step up, and some of them had started getting involved in the food bank packing. Some of them got involved in mission trips, and we even organized a Christmas outreach in an Orang Asli village in Bukit Bangkong. And we did things which we had never done before. We would act, we would do everything in Bahasa, a language which we are not very fluent with. And so we would do this week after week, and as time goes by, our cell groups become really excited about what we are doing. And I strongly encourage cell groups to get involved in some form of ministry collectively. It is not only an opportunity to allow God to use us to bring His love to the world around us, but He'll also do something amazing within your cell group. And you would experience the joy of seeing God using you in things that you never imagined you would ever do. Our church, Pastor Chris says, has got 300 cell groups. If each of our cell groups were to adopt one Myanmar or one poor family, or collectively get involved in some ministry, our church has got so many opportunities to serve. We would be able to make a tremendous difference. You know, we had a tagline in our church some time ago which says, "See a hurt, heal it. See a need, meet it." Now, if this becomes a reality in all our cell groups, if we go outside the four walls of our cell meeting, and we would be able to multiply and impact the Klang Valley for Jesus. My final words are, if you are not in a cell group, go out there and say, "I want to be in a cell group," and join a cell group. And if you are a cell leader, and if you are in a cell group, think about what God can do in your life as a group this year, and step up and just do something different for Jesus. We are not alone. God is part of our team, and you can do some amazing things. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Godwin. We're going to invite Debbie now. Debbie, could you come up? And Debbie is the wife of a cell leader. They are going to start a cell in Sepang soon already. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Good morning, church. I'm Debbie. I'm from Pastor Moy House Zone. And my CG leader is my husband, Benny, the one you see as a Santa Claus. Yes. Okay, now we can hardly remember when it's the first time we started all this visiting our Myanmar adopted family. Basically, it's about 3 to 4 years. That's about the timeline, and I still remember very clearly how sorrowful it is to see the living condition of our adopted family. We were actually visiting different families to assess, and by the time we come to this family, we see that they have 5 lack of nutrients children. So our heart was deeply burdened to adopt this particular family. You can see from the pictures, this is my adopted Myanmar refugee family. During our first visitation, we actually tried very hard to stop breathing, because when we entered their home, there were very strong mothballs, the doors, their furniture were rotting, and cockroach smells all blend into one. What they have are very basic. As you can see from the pictures, these are considered one of the best furniture they have in their home. Okay. Now, they can only afford mothballs to pest, to fend off the pests, and they can't even afford to buy proper soap or detergent to keep themselves clean and also their home clean. They barely have enough mattresses for each of their children, and the only sofa they have are infested with pests, eggs, where the foam is fully exposed with its wooden frame. Now, as we interview the father, his name is Park Song. Now, he is, by profession, he's an electrician. By nature, he's a deacon in the church. Every month, his salary is about 1,000, and this 1,000 ringgit is to feed 7 people in the family. And this is really, really sad to hear. Now, in our current increasing cost of living, how could one person's salary feed the entire household? It's actually impossible, even for us as Malaysian. With this, we can no longer stand by and watch. How can we not be burdened with their plights? Can we still sit comfortably in our home without thinking about them? Can we sleep in our aircon room while there's no mattress for their children to lay down? These questions really bother us a lot. I am blessed that my CG agreed to share this burden with me. They are willing to part with their monies. When we decided to sponsor the children's school fees, it's just merely 30 ringgit per month for each child. All the CG members contributed whenever they can, be it food, second-hand clothes, or even some furnitures. The young adults were fantastic. They contributed with their time, their effort in sending the food pack from our food bank with me during our monthly visitation, and they participated in praying. As you can see, we were praying for our adopted family in the picture. And we have small celebration, birthday celebration, even sometimes Christmas celebration in the recent time. So the next question is, what drives us to do so? It's actually very, very simple. Just to see them smile and live like a human should live. To see how the children grow up is really a blessing. You can see from a small, skinny, malnutrition children, they suddenly grow tall and healthy. Yes, some of them were actually taller than me by now. We often wonder, how can they grow so tall? Because their parents are so, you know, normal, not that tall. And then it dawned upon us that it's actually very simple. It's a food pack and also some additional food that we bring to them. These are the things the Lord have blessed them and keep them healthy and grow wonderfully. What a great joy to know that. Praise God for all His goodness. Not only that, we also see the transformation in their living condition. From smelly, rotting, and mothball fume in the living area, their house are now clean. They smell wonderful when we come and visit them, and they were very glad with the soap we provided them. Hygiene level have been uplifted. Mothballs, which is hazardous to their health, no longer linger in their home. It's just a small act, but it is so encouraging to see how much this has benefited their living condition. Last but not least, we were notified that one of the children is a top student in the class. Our heart is filled with great joy. All glory to God. We have been greatly blessed in return. There are many more endless testimonies from other CGs who have chosen to adopt the Myanmar family, and ours is just the tip of the iceberg. Just as how we learn from God's word, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Dear church, it's time to step up, reach out, stop waiting, and start sowing. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you very much. And I think I want you to realize that the light of Jesus is radical. It is life transforming. And no, you may not end up, you know, ministering to refugees. You may not end up ministering to, you know, the really poor. But God, I believe, will open up your eyes to begin to see what's around you. And you are being the light. You begin to minister in the way the Holy Spirit will lead you. Right? And so that's why listening to the Holy Spirit is very important. And one of the best things I also realized in cell groups is this. When you do works like this, it's very easy for you to invite your non-Christian friends to come along, because many of them want to do acts of charity too. And it becomes an evangelistic platform even for you to bring your non-Christian friend. And before you know it, as they belong to the cell group, let me tell you that they will become part of the cell group in spirit as well. And so these are some of the very powerful things. And so it is time we all spread out. God has placed your, you know, cell group somewhere. Now let me say this to you. One of the strategies I believe that the church must have, not only just in DUMC, but as we network with churches around. You see, often the church cannot go to every street. But do you know that cell groups can go to every street in Klang Valley? The vision I believe that we need to see is this. Planting a cell in every street of Klang Valley, where that street will be blessed because God's people gather. I think that becomes very powerful. I remember one time, you know, I was walking along the street where I lived, and this lady came up from the corner, at the corner house. She came over to me and said, "Mr. Kam, I understand that you have a small group meeting in your home." I say, yeah, you know, how do you know that? "Oh, every Friday night, sometimes I come out of the house while I was doing my garden. I would stand there and listen to you guys. I said, "Thank you very much, all right?" So something clicked in my mind. I went back to the cell group the following week. I said, "Guys, our neighbors are listening to our singing. Please sing well." So we cannot, you know, muck around in the way we sing too, all right? Then suddenly the Lord clicked something into my mind. He said to me, and I shared with the whole cell group, I said, "If human ears hear the worship, do you think spiritual ears does not hear?" All right. Wherever God is worshipped, God inhabits the praises of His people. And I guarantee you that there'll be angels that will come around your home. And I guarantee you that evil ears will also hear and they run. Why? Because the light expels darkness. Is there? And that is why I believe my home, which is open to cell group for many years now, my home is very blessed. Because every week the church meets, you know. Now all of you should be running out to the counter now and say, "Pastor, can I offer my home for cell group? Don't you want blessing every week?" I want that. That's why my wife and I decided that we must have cell groups every week in the home, because our home is blessed. And I believe that street where I stay that street is blessed because of the prayer of God's saints. Now imagine now with me that we plant a cell, not just UMC, but as we partner with many churches around, if our strategy is to plant a cell in every street, do you think Klang Valley will be blessed? I believe Klang Valley will be blessed as you pray or walk the streets and then ask God, "What do you want me to do on this street?" And some of you may start doing some community work where you are. You walk around past the park and you see the park is in a rundown condition, and as a cell group, you begin to paint, you know, the playground. Could be, all right, you could cut the grass, whatever. And people will ask you, "Why do you do all this?" And you say, "Because we are Christians and Jesus loves you." And so our presence will bring blessing wherever we are. And cell group will bring blessing. As each cell group now begin to build a prayer altar where you are. And you begin to pray your walk. This is something that I believe that I want to encourage the cell group to do in the coming months. Is prayer walk the area where your cell group meets and ask the Holy Spirit, "What is it that you want us to do?" I still remember in Taman, in Sea Park, when we had a church before Dream Center. And I remember a group of people decided to prayer walk Sea Park area. And Sea Park area is a very old area. And in prayer walking, we begin to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do, Lord? And as you pray or walk, you pray by sight. You actually watch what's going on in the community. When you pray or walk enough, God began to show you something. And one of the things that God showed in Sea Park is this. There are many, many older people in Sea Park. There's so many of them who'll be by themselves because their children are away working, and some of them are living by themselves. And after prayer walking a few weeks, this group of people decided that, why don't we do something for the elderly around this area? And that was the start of the Golden Club. That is why Golden Club today exists with 100 over, up to 200 older senior people will come and be blessed. And so many have come to know Christ through the senior club. And many of them just on time, because they are the senior group, many of them pass on, you know. And they come to know just in time. And how did that happen? Because we prayer walk the land. And there are needs out there that we all must begin to sense the heart of God. So church, this is what I want us all to do. I'm not saying that you arrived there yet doing this kind of thing. But I believe that God in the next few months is going to open up your eyes with a compassion of God. I want to do what I call a conspiracy of kindness, if there's such a phrase. It's a conspiracy. Right? Conspiracy means something we all do secretly, right? But it's a good conspiracy. It's called the conspiracy of kindness. I want you to open your eyes and look around wherever you are, whether in colleges, in school, in your workplace, okay? Open up, ask God to open your eyes to people that you can be kind to. Now, is that difficult? I don't think so. You see, by being kind, you know, there's a Bible verse that says that the kindness of God will lead a person to repentance. Right? The kindness of God will lead a person to repentance. As we are the light of the world, the kindness of God will lead people to repentance. It may be many steps, but I believe that as we learn to be kind, we learn to be compassionate. We learn to look around our community and look at the hidden people, I call them. The hidden people who are in need of God. So do acts of kindness, do crazy stuff. I pray DMC members to do crazy stuff, right? Good stuff, huh? For example, in Tesco one day, in Curve, I was lining up to pay my parking ticket coin, they call it. And there was this elderly Malay gentleman right in front of me. And I could see that he was frustrated. He was holding a $100 bill, a 100 ringgit bill. And he was frustrated. I turned to him and said, you know, Mr. Inche, how can I help you? He said, I don't know whether the machine would take 100 ringgit. I only have 100 ringgit, okay? And so how, you know? I said, well, you can try. So he put the thing into the machine, and it got rejected. Okay, he put it a second time, it got rejected. I said, yeah, the sign did say, only 50 ringgit, you know, 20 ringgit and 10 ringgit, okay, and 1 ringgit. Okay, then I don't know. I just took out my wallet, all right? And I took out my 10 ringgit and I put it in as I put in this coin. And I paid it for him. I said, here's a coin. And he was shocked for a while, you know. He said, oh, no, cannot, right? So he said, because he got 101, right? 100 ringgit and 1 ringgit, right? He said, you take my 1 ringgit, lah. Okay. I said, no need, okay? All right? He said, God bless you, all right? God bless you. Jesus bless you, okay? And I walked away, lah. And I could see that, you know what I left behind that man? I left behind a pleasantly surprised man. That there are still people in this world here who pay 6 ringgit for your parking ticket, although there's no reason for me to do it. But I believe that if 5,000 of us do deeds of kindness out there, do you know it changed the atmosphere? If 5,000 people leaving your home every morning to drive to your workplace, instead of cursing the road, cursing the jam and cursing the policeman, you think it's a policeman problem, eh? Because he directs the other traffic first and other than yours, okay? So rather than cursing, can you imagine 5,000 of us, just as we start the day, you thank God for the jam. You know why you need to thank God for the jam? Because it already happened, you can't run away, right? So you thank God for the jam that now you're slowing down now to pray for the person in front, you pray for the person behind you, and pray for the person on the right. Because these 4 person may have never been prayed in their entire life, but you had the privilege of praying for them because the car slowed down. You can even look at their faces. Right? So rather than cursing the road, okay, because enough curses already for Kuala Lumpur, Christians need to bless. There's one time I remember, I wind down my window, I wave at the policeman and said, terima kasih. I don't know whether anyone has ever wound down the window and said, terima kasih. I don't know. Maybe we all should try that today. 5,000 people waving at policemen. It's an amazing sight, you know. Terima kasih, right? And I know in the past as well, on Labor's Day, some cell groups have gone on off to police station, all right, and said, this is a gift hamper for you. We want to thank you for serving us. I remember one time, I was driving, first time, I know crazy stuff, I love to do crazy stuff. Eh? At the toll, you know, at that time, I was still paying in cash, you see. And I paid cash, 2 ringgit, to the cashier, and I said, I give you 2 more ringgit for the person behind me, okay? Then I drove away, and I look at the rear view mirror, looking at the cashier, trying to explain to the guy why the guy in front is paying for him. All right. And I believe this guy drove away and said, why are the people paying for me, all right? Okay. Now you see, crazy stuff like that will change the atmosphere. I remember one time, Christmas. Christmas is a very stressful time because customer service of the mall, all right? And customer personnel, I could see the strain on their hand. I was remember lining up, you know, 10 people, you know, ahead of me. And I could see that the poor lady behind the people was scolding her and all that. And I decided, no, enough of that, you know. So by the time it came to me, all right, I look at her, I say, thank you very much. You're very stressed, right? Yeah, but thank you very much for helping me, all right? Thank you very much. I know it's very stressful for you. She looked up at me. She actually smiled. And she looked at her colleague, and she smiled at her colleague, okay? And I believe that I walked away, all right, having been blessed. Someone has been blessed because of what I did. And I believe it changed the atmosphere around where they are. Now, I am not even talking here about sharing, you know, the gospel here. Sit down, share 4 points of the gospel. Not yet. All right? All I'm asking you is learn to have a conspiracy of kindness that you will go out there and do something different. Give a gift to the security guard that has been looking after your area. Okay, give up your seat to somebody, you know, in DUMC here, it will be amazing revival when you come, you have a parking space, you realize someone else needs a parking space, you say, come, take my parking space. Wow, that will be revival in DUMC, man. You want to clap for yourself, okay. And now, there's 1,001 ideas how you can do this. But can you let the Holy Spirit lead you? And if we do this well enough, let me just prompt you ahead of time. I'm going to print little cards for you. All right? That will say something along the line that, you know, you are special. Jesus loves you. And then www.dumc.my. That's all. Okay? And then something blank at the back for you to write. If it's a waiter that has been really good in service, you turn right behind and say, dear waiter, thank you very much. You know, you have served really well. You know, da-da-da-da-da. And then, of course, don't just give him a card. Put a tip there for the person. All right? And then when you walk along the street, okay, and you see the parking meter running out already expired. So what do? You take out your coin. All right? And then you put in the parking, you know, meter, put your coin in the parking meter, and then take out your card and write down there, all right, your coin already, your parking meter has been paid for, all right, put a card there. Now, I tell you, 5,000 people doing random acts of kindness with no strings attached, I believe changed the whole atmosphere of Klang Valley. And I believe as we prepare the ground, as we are the light of the world, we take it out of our pocket and begin to be that light. I believe there's no reason why Klang Valley cannot be blessed. And I let me challenge you that God will lead you to places you'll be surprised. Okay? You know, I challenge my two boys as well, even myself and my wife. I say, now, we're going to do this. I say, we're going to take 10 ringgit out, all right? I'm going to give, you know, I want you to walk around with this 10 ringgit. And you ask the Holy Spirit, who can this 10 ringgit bless? Okay? Now, I know you've not changed the lives of people with this 10 ringgit. You know what that does to us? It helps us be sensitive to the people around you. Don't just simply, I told my kids, don't simply just give it to somebody who's begging for money. No, it's not about that, all right? It's about being sensitive to know who are the people in need. You'll be surprised, all right, how this 10 ringgit is. See, once you use that 10 ringgit, you just claim for me, like, I'm your dad, I can supply you. Like. But the point is not about giving the 10 ringgit. The point is about you wanting to be hearing the Holy Spirit. Is there someone I can bless? You do that often enough, it changes the heart of your children. Because they begin to look around them. So maybe you should try this 10 ringgit experiment. I don't know. But try that. It's a small investment, but I believe it has powerful, radical changes to the lives of people. You know, and I pray that you will come to the point as well where one day, you know, I will see you as priests. One day you are people walking the streets and you begin to pray for people for healing. You see a need there, somebody who is in crutches, somebody who is have a need for healing. You have learned as a priest to walk up to that person and say, "Can I pray for you?" A miracle begin to take place on the streets. And that will be powerful. And when you see a funeral down in your street, okay, learn to walk in there and be part of it and bless the family there. See, there are 1,001 things that we can do, but what is the Holy Spirit saying? All right? And the last thing that I want to challenge you to is this, all right? And is this, that, you know, the greatest mission field actually is our 9-to-5 window. Every one of us here works, okay? And when you go out this morning, right at the glass door, all right, some of you may not notice this, but I put the following words on the glass door as you walk out, right? That words are, you are now entering the mission field, right? You watch out for that words, because I want to remind all of us every weekend, as you come here, mission field is not here, right? The mission field is out there. And as you go out, what is God saying to you as far as the mission field is concerned? Can I have the next slides on? All right. And this is the mission field. And I pray that from the church, as we point out to people that the mission field is really out there, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a clerk, whether you're a secretary, whether you're whatever that you do, all right, that is your mission field. And when you go there, first thing I want you to try is to do your acts of kindness. Is there someone I can bless in my workplace? Is there someone that I can do something for? You'll be surprised about the needs in your offices, in your schools, in your colleges. And I believe as we do that, we'll begin to transform the community atmosphere around us. And I think this is going to be very exciting. I look forward to hearing stories from all of us here. Last weekend, I shared with you about a 10 cent, remember? And so this young man came up to me. He's only 16, 17 years old. He said, "Pastor, your 10 cent touched me." All right? "What do you mean?" "I took $1, 1 ringgit extra for my canteen operator. All right, I knew it was an extra. I have to return." So last weekend, he told me. I said, "Yeah, I think you need to return, you know. All right, thank you very much for reminding me." So yesterday night, he came up to me. "Pastor, you returned, right?" "Yeah, returned already." So what did the man say? "Where in the world were such people?" It changed that environment. You realize that? It changed the environment of that canteen. It maybe gives hope to that man to say there is still such people. All right? And these are random acts of kindness. So can I challenge you this morning? Can I challenge you, all right, to step up? All right, this is the theme of this year, step up, okay? Step up to be the light. To be the light of the world, I want you to dream big. I want you to see the community where you are in transform. Think big, all right, dream big, all right? But you start small. How do you start small? Doing little acts of kindness. And then you grow deep in the Lord. As you grow in the Lord, I believe there will be a transformation that will take place. Amen? So you ask the Holy Spirit, what can you do? So in the ending, this is what I want you to do now. Everyone now take out your handphone and switch on the light. Okay? Now if you can't switch on the light, remember, you turn to the other side. All right? They say, okay, where there is a light there. Okay? Right? Some form of light. But I want you to take out your handphone right now and turn on the light. Because this represents the light. Imagine with me right now, this is the Klang Valley. And putting a cell group in every street is like putting a light in one part of Klang Valley. DUMC Dream Center may be here, but the church It's out there. All right? So you are the light. Now turn off our house light right now. You begin to see how powerful that has become. All right? In the darkness that we may be in, it dispels the darkness. It dispels evil deeds because we are the light of the world. And this is going to be something powerful in the days to come, and I believe God is going to use you. Shall we pray? Father, even as every light, God, is lifted up here, this represents the light of every person in this room. This represents the light of every cell group, God, that is represented from this church into the community. And we pray, Lord, that may this light be the light to the world, to be a city on a hill where people can see the light. And so I believe some of us here, the Lord is saying to you right now, you know, some of us, that light has been put in the pocket somewhere. You know, you have lived a Christian life, but that light has never been shown brightly in your life. The Lord says, it's time you take that light out. Some of you here may not be Christians here. You know, Jesus said, I want you to make you a light. In fact, last night, somebody came up, walked to the front and said, you know, I want to have Jesus into my life because I need that light. And maybe you're not a Christian here this morning. Maybe God is saying to you, you need Jesus in your life. So later on, you know, during a time of prayer, you may want to come up here and say, can you share with me something about how to have this light in my life? But for the rest of us, as we hold up this light, can you make a commitment to the Lord right now? God, I want to be that light. Right? As you hold this up, you say, God, will you use me? Ordinary person, God, use me in a powerful way. All right? Thank you, Lord. So seal that, Lord, into all my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord.